sticky. That's what's going on right now, Andrea, in Chicago. Oh. It's going to be 99 degrees tomorrow.
I'm glad he played the Go-Go's. It makes me so happy.
It feels like summertime.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. This is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us in the studio is our regular Friday night, Freak Out Friday night panel. We have Ken Jakubowski, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy. And joining us once again, we had our friend Carl Kozlowski in studio a few weeks ago. You introduced us to a charming comedian. And I've been following you on Twitter, by the way, and on Facebook. I do want to say, I'm glad that you enjoyed the museum. I'm not sure why you had to go with Murder Town on your post. You didn't think I was going to see that?
Sorry.
You didn't think that was going to reach my eyeballs? I'm just saying. You want to come to my town? You want to? I'm just saying.
You know? In fact, Patty's going to kill you.
I know, right here.
Yeah. Wait a minute. This is so contradictory.
Wait, she's got a gun, folks.
Welcome home, Carl.
Thank you.
I know you lived here for a long time as well.
Yeah.
You worked for the Chicago Tribune as well.
Yes, for a while.
And now the owner of Radio Titans and the great, very successful podcast, Oh Man, That's Awful.
Yeah.
And you said there was some great news today.
There's a show. Just look at RadioTitans.com. Tune into the last episode of The Gray Zone with Mark Ebner. We have this great true crime Hollywood scandal journalist, Mark Ebner, who has a show. And he broke national news today about a William Morris agent executive who had a sex partner die in his dungeon. The dude's an S&M kingpin. And a guy died under mummification. And Mark broke the story last week on his podcast. And now it's blown up everywhere.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Well, it's midnight.
No. You didn't cross any lines. I just feel bad. And then saying, well, I wanted to make sure we got your, you know, made sure we, first of all, acknowledge that you have a lot of great success. And I didn't want you to think I only had you on the show in order to introduce your friend and our next guest on the line, Stephen Tobolowsky, who I absolutely adore. Hey, Stephen, it's Patty Vasquez. How are you doing? And Andrea Darlis and the whole crew.
Hey, Patty. I am doing great. Did you say it's going to be 115 in Chicago?
Something like that. The heat index is going to be somewhere around there. Yeah.
Man.
It's a miserable
hot. I was there like 6 weeks ago, and it was beautiful. It was chilly even. It was delightful.
Well, that's the thing about our town is that, you know, what do they say? If you don't like the weather, wait a minute. It'll change.
Oh. Hey, no. They say that in Dallas, where I come from. You know, so they say that a lot of places. Wherever the weather is bad, they say that.
Now, I do have to acknowledge that you are a regular on Nick D's show. So, Carl, I just want you to know it's only because I feel as though I have a little bit of a permission to borrow Stephen Tobolowsky, who everyone adores, obviously. We love all of your work from Groundhog Day to Glee, Memento. I mean, like, and now, of course, one of the great sitcoms on Netflix, One Day at a Time, and soon to be the project that you were working with Carl on.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen. The reason I'm in town, folks, is that tomorrow night I'm at Second City's DeMott Theater at 10 o'clock, and I'm going to be debuting my, I've created a sitcom pilot called Asleep at the Wheel, because it's sort of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm thing, exaggerating my life as a entertainment reporter and podcaster and stand-up comic in L.A., and how I always mess things up by either falling asleep or saying something completely inappropriate while in the middle of an interview. And both happened in this episode, and Steven's kind enough to be the guest in the storyline that we created. So, yeah, it's pretty funny, thankfully.
How did you enjoy working on this project? Go ahead, Steven.
It was very interesting. I mean, I knew Carl, first of all, not really as a comedian, but as a writer. And Carl is a very, very good writer, and he works at the papers here in town. And Carl asked me if I did his Radio Titan show a couple of times, and he showed me this very delightful script. It was very funny, which he wrote. But Carl, I mean, you're burying the lead. Isn't that what they call it? Like,
what?
I mean, what I thought was so fascinating about your story is that you suffer or have suffered from narcolepsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's why we call it Asleep at the Wheel.
That you would fall asleep at completely inappropriate times. Now, you mentioned that, but if people didn't know you had narcolepsy, they would just think you were a lazy bum. But you have this where you fall asleep, and the script is very interesting and fun. A lot of the fun comes from dealing with the what do you call it? I guess the curveballs life gives you. But it was very delightful. We had fun shooting the show.
Thanks, man.
A lot of fun.
And what are the, I mean, this is the kind of project that, I mean, people dream of doing if they're in the industry, in particular stand-up comics, would love to be able to shoot a pilot. What went into making this come to fruition, Carl? How'd you get, I know Steve tells you he was already
weird,
a fan.
The weird thing about it, if this actually sells this time, is that we actually shot this three times, and Steven, despite being, I think he was named one of the 10 busiest actors in Hollywood, or one of the 10 most viewed actors in Hollywood, because he's on all so many things, and he actually showed up, I had no money the first two times, and then finally got lucky this time around, we got real money, and a team from a CBS sitcom called Superior Donuts, they said, hey, we got the summer off, and then they wound up getting canceled, so they really had free time, and so we had a four-person team come and film it, so it looks great, and they got their editor involved, so it all just it looks really great this time, and basically just was working on it for a couple of years, and then, you know, I guess the third time's the charm, as they say. I don't know, I just, like, both times before, I was like, I know this kind of sucks, I'm not going to put it out there, and somehow Steven was kind enough to keep coming back and giving us his time, because the script was good, but just other parts of it were always coming up short, because I didn't have any money until I finally convinced somebody this go-round to throw some money down and make it happen right.
I was feeling a little bit like those William Morris people in the S&M Dungeon of Pain working on this project, because we shot, you know, Carl says, Steven, I'm going to be very careful of your time. I know you're busy, man. We'll be very careful with your time. So we would shoot the scene in Carl's house, in his room, where he lives, in his apartment. And we would shoot it there, and it was very funny. We all had a great time. Then I'd leave, and Carl would say, oh, it's absolutely fabulous. It's absolutely great. It's going to be terrific. And then I didn't hear from Carl for like 6 weeks, and he called back and said, like, you know, I think we're going to have to shoot the whole thing again. I don't think it worked at all. We're going to have to shoot the whole thing again. I go, well, Carl, I'm kind of busy. Well, we'll wait till you're free. So they wait till we're free. We shot it again, and Carl was saying, like, this time we have a guy who's a real genius with lighting, and the sound guy is just perfect. Everything's going to be great. This fellow came in with like, his lighting equipment looked like it came from my patio in Dallas, Texas. Wow. These weren't like real lighting instruments that you know, like you'd have a lamp and a flashlight that you'd bounce off the roof. And we'd shot the whole scene again, and it was delightful again. Carl called up the next day. It was absolutely fabulous. We absolutely loved this. And then 10 weeks later, Steven, this whole thing is just horrible. We're going to have to shoot it again. And I really had thoughts that like, either I was in a dream. Maybe I was in Carl's dream. Maybe his narcoleptic dream. And I was a part of this dream. We're going to do this scene again and again. But I have to say, each time we did it, we had a great time each time we did it.
Okay. That should instill confidence in all the listeners to come out and watch the show, I'll tell you that.
Did you have a good time, Carl?
I had a blast. But Steven, look at it. It was like Groundhog Day. We just did it over and over until it was right.
Just to pick a name randomly out of the air.
Yes.
I get it. Yeah.
Speaking of which, of course, we're getting a lot of texters with quotes from Groundhog Day. But there is one texter who goes, Patty, you should check out the movie Sneakers. Well, I got Sneakers. Something to tell you. That's one of my favorite movies.
Love that movie.
I don't know why I love it. Look at me. I'm driving. Anyway, I love I was just showing Andrea, I have 10 pages stapled together with your name on it, Steven Toblowski, but only two paragraphs about you, and the rest of it are just all the movie roles that you have done and television series. And of course, this project, which I am amazed at how you were able to carve out time to give to Carl. I'm just curious. I mean, do you do a lot of independent projects like this when someone approaches you and says, I have this dream project, will you be a part of it? Or was it specific to what Carl wanted to do?
It was specific to Carl because he was one of my first supporters in Los Angeles with my writing, not my acting, but my writing, some of the stories, the Tobolowsky files and things that I had written. And written my first book, Dangerous Animals Club. He gave me a lot of time with Radio Titans and pushing Dangerous Animals Club. And he's been a big supporter this way. Plus, he's quite an amusing guy. And like I said, a very good writer. And so, you know, I had a lot of trust that the project would somehow come together. In answer to the first part of your question, if I have time and if I have the energy, I'd like to work on independent projects because you never know who's going to be the next Steven Spielberg out there or who is. And you always learn something when you work on projects that don't have that cushion of money. You know, like right now, we work on One Day at a Time, or we work on Silicon Valley. Those shows got money to help take the bumps out of the road. And when you have, like Carl, he was saying, like he got the, what was it, Carl, the sound guys from Superior Donuts?
It was a camera team, yeah.
They were phenomenal.
Thank you.
But you know, that is one of the bits of good fortune that comes to you sometimes when you do an independent project. And I always believe that doing it, and if there are young people out there with the beginnings of projects, my mantra is do it. Because when I teach acting and improv out here in Los Angeles, I find 95% of the people in my classes do not do it. And if you do it, you're already in the top 5%. So I like the idea of people being able to do a project. And if I'm able to do a show and help participate and help make them do it, then it makes me happy to do that, too. And I always learn something doing it.
I love that you participated in this. And again, everyone recognizes Stephen Tobolowsky from over 200 television and movie appearances, now including Carl's pilot. Again, what's the name of the pilot?
Asleep at the Wheel.
Asleep at the Wheel.
Which actually happened. I crashed my car on the freeway in L.A. once, so I don't drive.
I was going to say, are you allowed to drive anymore?
I'm allowed. I'm just afraid, so I don't. So, yeah, I'm Uber's best customer.
Carl, don't drive. I didn't think you drove. If you're driving in Los Angeles,
don't drive. I'm afraid to.
Oh.
Stay off the road.
Heaven help us. Yeah, please.
I love this from the 224. I love the part of the movie where the woman has to try to get you to say certain words. My name is my passport. Verify me, please. Oh my God, I love that movie.
In sneakers. It's like, I remember I got that script from my agents, and they said, you know, when you read. Look at this. I'm thinking, oh, this movie, Sneakers? What a stupid-sounding movie. Ugh. You know, and I just expected this was going to be an incredibly dopey film. And I read this film, and I go, I called my agent back, and I said, I just know what $100 million reads like.
Oh.
I said, this film is a hit. And this was back in 1980 or $90, you know, it was such a great script. And as proof of how good of a script Sneakers is, if you haven't seen Sneakers, go out and see it. It's a terrific cast.
It holds up.
Robert Redford, Ben Kingsley, James Earl Jones, River Phoenix, Dan Aykroyd, Sidney Poitier, Mary McDonald. My God, it was just David Strathairn. Great, great, great cast. And it is one of those techno caper movies that uses a cradle modem. I mean, it was written so long ago, there are cradle modems in it, like AOL was probably in it. But at the same time, the film was so future seeing that it isn't outdated. It is still captivating in a caper kind of way and scary in a caper kind of way. And it's a delightful film to watch.
It really is. And if you haven't seen it, it's something. We watched it with my son, and he loved that.
It's a great
movie.
Flick.
It's such a good movie.
It was River Phoenix's last film, I believe, correct?
I think you're right. Is that right?
It was one of them, yeah, close, yeah.
There may have been another one he had shot that came out after he had died, but
Well, my favorite scene in that movie is the one where, and sorry, this isn't your scene, but it's the one where Robert Redford is blindfolded and in the back of the van, David Strathairn, who plays a blind person, helps him identify what the sounds he's hearing so that they can reproduce where he went.
Yes, it sounds like a cocktail party, and it turns out to be this park with geese in it.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's a great scene. Yeah, it's a great flick. I love that movie.
It's phenomenal. One of my most fun memories of Sneakers is, like I said, you have this cast that you never get together in this day and time. And we were shooting over on the Universal lot, and they have those trams that go through with all the tourists taking pictures of everything. And the guys who run the trams have this patter. And they go like, well, over here is Bruce the shark from Jaws. Oh, over there is like the car Columbo drove. And they just do this with their little microphones and everybody snapping pictures. Well, my trailer was on one side of the road. And on the other side of the road was James Earl Jones's trailer and Robert Redford's trailer. And the tram is coming through and we're called to the set. And James Earl Jones and Robert Redford are walking across the road, and the tram has to stop for them. And I'm watching this, right? But the guy who's doing the patter of the tram, he doesn't know what's happening. He just keeps going like, and there's the shark from Jaws, and over there is the coat from Columbo. And the two biggest actors in the world, James Earl Jones and Robert Redford, walk in front of the tram, and no one takes their picture.
Oh.
Hilarious. It was a true Hollywood heartbreaking moment, but it was fabulous. It was fabulous and great. And I saw Phil Robinson at the Symphony like 10 years after we did Sneakers. And I said, Phil, what are your feelings about Sneakers now? And he said, my biggest regret is that we cannot start shooting tomorrow and do the whole thing again.
Aww.
He said, I had so much fun shooting that movie. It was such a delight to go to work every day. And that kind of joy is in the film.
I love hearing that because it was a fun the first time I saw it. I owned the VHS copy of it, watched it over and over again, and I was so happy to share it with my son. And we could listen to you talk all night, but we are so grateful for your time and so excited to find out more about this project, Asleep at the Wheel. Carl, can people find out, can they support you too? Do you still need some help on
this? Actually, I do. But I don't have a GoFundMe set up, darn it. Because I'm trying to take it to the Montreal Comedy Fest at the end of July. You can PM me, I guess, at Facebook, Carl, and then Kozlowski, and I have some. I'm about to be launching a campaign in the next couple of days. I just didn't have time to get it up yet, but I'm trying to get some money to go travel up there and show it off to Comedy World execs at the world's biggest comedy fest in July in Montreal, the Just for Last Fest. But tomorrow night it's at Second City's DeMott Theater at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be doing like about 30 to 45 minutes of stand-up and storytelling, and then we're going to debut the show. And I promise it'll be a really funny night, so please come out.
And Stephen, I know that you've written a couple books. When I heard you on Nick D's show, and again, if he'll ever let me borrow you, I will do that if you are so gracious enough to join us again. But the stories that you told when you were talking about your book, My Adventures with God, I was just dying. In particular, I don't want you to go into it because I want people to read your book, but is the Willie Nelson story in there where you tried sending him that song that you wanted to get to him and just mailed it to Texas?
That story is in there.
Okay, please.
The Willie Nelson story is there.
So, I mean, I was riveted. It's just, your storytelling is enchanting. So I would encourage people to pick up My Adventures with God, and you can also find The Dangerous Animal Club, both by Stephen Tobolowsky, our gracious guest tonight. Thank you so much, sir. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you so much. This was a blast. And everybody should go see Carl. He's a hoot.
Go see Carl.
SecondCity.com and looking for Asleep at the Wheel to get tickets.
There you go. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your evening and happy 4th of July, my friend.
Okay. Happy Chicago.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More after this on 720 WGN.